This is a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, it is. It's a podcast and you love it.
I'm now joined by old mate Mokotron. We're here to talk about Mokotron's new single, Ohaki, and the upcoming album, Wairia, which drops in December. Is that correct?
Ai, December 5th. Ai, o te pōti, te wai pau namu, tēnei te mihi aroha ki a koutou, mai i tāmaki makaurau, tāmaki hire hire, nā waka, tēnā koutou. Kia ora, Zach.
Kia ora, mate, kia ora, mate. How's your day going so far, Mokotron?
Oh, pretty intense, eh? I mean, it's like we're 24 hours deep in the release and there's like 13,000 streams on Instagram. I'm over 2,000 followers on Instagram.
Nice.
We over-ordered the vinyl so it could last for a couple years and sold a third of it in 2 hours when it opened.
Oh, man.
Like, even just the t-shirts are almost most sold out. They were supposed to last, so it's been kind of nuts, eh? Hey, Kare, like, I kind of thought it would be a slow burn, but apparently not. It's been really intense. So, but just amazing, you know, just feeling very, really happy.
Mm-hmm. I'm really happy to hear that business is booming. I mean, there's a great reason why. It's because the visuals and the song itself are incredible. And we'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to ask you, if Mokotron were in the Transformers universe, would it be a Decepticon or an Autobot?
Wow! Yeah, it would be... I mean, it would be like a Decepticon, but, or would it be an Insecticon? I don't know. Or a Predacon.
Or a Beastimal, whatever they're called.
It's their thing, you know, like even in the Decepticons, they have values. Like they can see that Starscream is actually, you know, like he's not someone that can be trusted in that. So, you know, like there's money even on the dark side. Nah, hard. Decepticons hard.
Yeah. Yeah, rocking with the dark side. Awesome. The Ohaki video is very much a video that looks like how the music sounds. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like how it sounds and how it looks like. The comparison is insane. Very artistic and vivid visuals there. And it's a collaboration between yourself, animator and video artist Simon Ward, and visual artist James Parati Lanchberry, who you've been working with for a few years now. How did you and James Parati Lanchberry originally link up? And how did the collaboration between the two of you and Simon Ward happen?
I moved to Wellington in 2012 for a couple of months. I took up a job there and just got to meet all the kind of base heads down there. So that was, 12 years ago. But I think when I started Mokotron, I literally wrote the first Mokotron song in 2012 when I was in Wellington. And I just kind of needed a logo and I went through everyone looking at everyone's kind of styles, and there was something about James's mahi that was so dark and just like scary, you know, and somehow sci-fi, but totally different from anyone else. He did this Aotearoa dubstep logo and I was like, that's it, that kind of dark look. So Parati's been on it from day one. In fact, people often think it's his kind of breakbeat, you know, pseudonym, like it's his project. So yeah, like Mokotron was from day one was really me making music and Parati doing the visuals. So we've talked about this stuff for like a long time, you know, like over a decade now, I guess, the mythology of it. So yeah, it just totally made sense. If we're going to bring Mokotron to life, then Parati was the one who did that by taking my idea. I mean, I just gave him a brief, like, imagine a carving, but the carving becomes a robot and the robot's called Mokotron, so somehow it's a robot carving, and I don't know how you get a robot made of wood, but somehow you do, and that it's a kaitiaki, like a guardian of the people and the whenua. So that was, you know, that was like 12 years ago that we had that conversation, maybe 11. And so he's kind of been, we've been talking about it for years before anyone was even kind of following this stuff. So yeah, it made sense that he would, that the narrative would come from him, because we've just, you know, we've been discussing it for years. Simon, just through my label Sun Return, they really rate Simon as an animator, and he's amazing. He's worked with so many of my friends in the past, and it was just like, yeah, it makes sense. I think you know, I want to work with Māori and I want to work with people who work with Māori. So because Simon had worked with my tuahine, Jess Hansel, Coco Solid, who I grew up with in Mangere Bridge, you know, and with her partner, Toki, I just, you know, like, there's always, I already know he can work really well and bring out the vision of Maori and Pacific artists. I mean, he worked on Aroha Bridge. Aroha Bridge is where I grew up. It's actually called Mangere Bridge. Grew up there with Jess. So, you know, to see him bring forward my childhood home and the dairy I used to go to every day, like, it was like, oh yeah, this dude knows how to do it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really beautiful, man. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Will the direction on Ōhaki reflect the general sound on the new Wairia album? You know, with the kind of dark tones, with the deep digital throat singing, with the taonga puro and with the wub wubs and the general kind of jungle/DNB drum beat. Will that be the general sound, or will your new album Wairia be a more general offering of sounds like your previous 2023 project Tawhito?
I think when I started, I was just doing electro, like electro funk, and I just dropped that. You know, I was just like, nah, I gotta make my own stuff. So there's no electro on there. Like, I've just dropped that. That was a, you know, like a creative crutch. It's really easy to work in genres because, you know, you just rest on those genres and their sort of stereotypes and cliches and themes. And I was like, nah, just be brave. Mm-hmm. Make Māori music and make your own style of music. Don't work within a genre. So there's definitely no English on there, no electro. I think the first couple of tunes I wrote were quite dark, and they were in that kind of style you hear on Tawhito and Hirere Te Ara, like quite rough breaks and low bass lines. But as it developed, really, it kind of moved out of that. So Ōhaki is definitely the first tune I wrote on the album. And, you know, it's old now, so it's got that older sound. But the newer ones are, I think, a lot tighter, a lot harder, a lot more modern sounding, just, yeah, a bit more banging. Still dark, but not scary dark, more like hype dark. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can kind of hear it. I've got three singles, three videos, and those are kind of the older tunes because, you know, of course you apply for funding for videos early on, but I think most of the album is actually quite different, and people have probably heard it when I'm playing live, that some of my new tunes are, yeah, just a bit more hype, kind of a bit more banging, you know. I think I was writing a lot of those tunes at home and just, you know, just in my own isolation. So I think as soon as I started playing out, I started being like, oh, okay, I need something that can actually smash a club properly. So, you know, Club Killers, Club Dubs. So, the singles aren't really a good indication of where I'm at as a musician. And so it's kind of cool because I know that people already like my sound. They'll go with the singles. But when they hear the first kind of two songs on the album, they're going to be like, oh, damn, he's actually on another level now. So, but even a tune I did last week, I just finished a remix for one of my favorite Māori singer in Tamaki. I can't announce it yet, but it's just like, yeah, it's on a different level. So, awesome. So yeah, kind of changing a lot over time, I guess. And just as a result of playing live and hearing stuff on big sound systems, playing the dance floors and being like, okay, can't just be for me in the garage. It's got to be, you know, it's got to translate in front of a crowd and on a big system.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. You said with this new track that you really wanted to nail the puoro on this. How long have you been practicing puoro, and what kind of taonga puoro do you use on the song?
Yeah, I probably started when I started at Māori Studies about, 11 years ago. There's a material cultures expert here called Dante Bonica, and I just went to him and said, what are the traditional ways of making puoro? So I guess, probably started 11 years ago, more focusing on actually making them and carving them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still learning to play them. What am I playing? This is weird, but... because I was working with Dante, and he's, you know, one of the foremost material culture experts on Te Ao Māori in the world, mm-hmm. Alive, he's really into the traditional stuff. So he's like, you know, a lot of these things that people are playing now are kind of museum pieces that were possibly not real instruments. They were made for tourists. And so he was saying, if you go back to the traditions, the instruments people made were actually very rudimentary. Some of them were made on the spot,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was kind of his thing of, don't just go into carving these with Western tools. Use traditional stone tools, but go back to the real traditions of actually not just carved tools, but rudimentary tools. So I really got into the rudimentary thing. So I love making things out of tūturako. It's clear that our ancestors would just pick those up and put a hole in them and just play them. I mean, pūtātara could be made on the spot out of flax. Mm. You know, shells can be used. So it was really weird when I started. I made all these intricate pūoro, but the more I learned, I was like, oh, nah, I don't want to be part of that. You know, I really don't want to be part of the pūoro movement, which is all about, you know, these incredibly elaborate instruments. And it's like, nah, I'll rather be kind of a bit more traditional and a bit more kind of punk rock about it. And so, yeah, I actually gave away all my nice instruments and I try to use the most rudimentary things I can. I use shells, you know. I use snail shells, seashells. I'll make really basic pūoro. So yeah, kind of, it's a different approach. I think that's for me, like, I just don't want to be part of the world that's been created around pūoro, which is just, I don't know, it's a bit icky, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a bit like self-aggrandizing. I think it's actually time for our community to reclaim those taonga from predominantly Pākehā carvers and artists and just do what we want to do with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even just the thing where they play them by themselves, like, bro, where do you ever do one thing by yourself in the Māori world? It's always a cacophony of noise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't mean
free jazz. He tangata, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, free jazz, you know, all that stuff is cool, but world music's great, but I'm interested in, yeah, how do we put it in a cacophony of sound, which is really how we work as a people, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of reclaiming things, the song Ōhaki is a death song for Queen Elizabeth II. It laments how, despite royal title changing hands since Victoria, and most recently from Elizabeth to Charles, a great deal of whenua remains alienated from Māori, with you asking how long must Māori wait for justice. Do you see that justice coming any time in the relative near future, in like the next 2 or 3 decades, and how do you think it can be achieved?
Short answer, no.
I
guess in this country we've got this idea that there's a treaty partnership between Māori and Pākehā, and that's nonsense. That's not real, eh? Like, I mean, you know, I say that as a lecturer in Māori studies, as someone with a PhD in Māori history, as a head of school of Māori studies here in Tāmaki, like, it's not real. We signed a Te Tiriti o Waitangi with the British Crown to protect us from white settlers and their violence. So our treaty partner has never been Pākehā New Zealanders, settlers, or anyone else. It's the British Crown. So I think for so long our community have said our treaty partner is the British Crown, and what role are they playing? Very little. I mean, when I was a kid, at the very least, Queen Elizabeth was there at the signing of the Waikato Tainui Raupatu settlement, and, you know, karere, nā roi matau te mutu mō kingi tūhaitia I tēnei ata. You know, sadly, the Māori king has passed away this morning, you know, a big event for Māoridom. So, you know, at the very least, the kingitanga and tūhaitia's mother and whānau, uncle, were able to negotiate an agreement that the Queen Elizabeth would come to the Waikato settlement and be part of the apology. But, you know, that was one of the first treaty settlements, but it was really the last time she played a role, you know. So she's our treaty partner. She, in her lifetime, she had a role to address the agreement that we made with her to protect us from settlers, from what we call New Zealanders, and she hasn't done it. So will justice come from Britain? Probably not. Will justice come from the government? I mean, 180 years will say it won't. Justice will come from our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be from our activities. And it's not just protest. It's actually just building our own movements, whether they're political, creative, you know, schools and things like that. That's where justice comes from, I'd say.
Do you think that with the government's, you know, clear violations of the treaties, of the treaty at the moment, that is, you know, it's definitely galvanising a lot of support for Māori within Māori communities? Do you think that would lead somewhere very, very productive?
I mean, it already is, eh? It's quite amazing, eh? Like, David Seymour has somehow kicked off a Māori renaissance, so thank you for that. you know, it is motivating people to move, and so, you know, that's what so many people are doing, starting new movements. I mean, they're going to be happening 5 metres away in tomorrow with the OG activists coming back to Waipapa and deciding what we're going to do next. So, yeah, it's going to come from our communities. I think it's, though, you know, the thing I always say is the Pākehā giveth and the Pākehā taketh away. You know, like, I mean, governments come in and throw crumbs on the ground and we chase after them and then they take them away. At the end of the day, all those changes they're introducing, they haven't made a difference in our community. the things that have been, made a difference in our community are kohanga reo, kura kaupapa, kura reo, the movements that were started by us, not funded by the government, not set up by the government. Those are the ones that change lives. So even Māori studies here in Tāmaki and all our Māori movements, you know. So, you know, ball heads come and go. That's just normal. What are we going to do in our communities?
I would love to talk to you so much more about not only this topic, but about some more things to do with the video. But I don't have a whole lot of time left, so I got to ask just two quick questions. When is the next single going to come out, and are you doing any gigs to celebrate the release of Ōhaki?
Kia ora, we got another video and another single coming out in a month. That's Wairia. The video, can I start talking about it? It's kind of a surprise. It's very different. Yeah, it's very different. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but the next video is coming out in about a month for a song called, the title track, Wairia. I'm working right now. Like, I'm a teacher. I'm teaching like 600 students Māori history and culture right now. So I'm really busy. I can't really do gigs between, it's like July and February. So yeah, I don't take bookings at this time, but I'm going to do a release party probably in that first week of December, probably in Tāmaki. I am talking to people in Te Waipounamu in Wellington about some festivals and stuff in March. We're still finalising the details. So yeah, I'm going to do a release party in Tāmaki, but yeah, there'll be a tour early next year once I stop teaching summer school. So I hope I can end up in Ōte Porsi. It'd be amazing to go down there.
It'd be so awesome to have you, Moko
Tron. I'd love to.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on this morning and talking all about the single and so much more. It's been a real pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Alrighty, that was Moko Tron talking on their new track, Ōhaki, which you can find all over the internet on streaming services, YouTube. Go watch the video. It will change your life. Coming up at 10, we have a kōrero with Rachel Toombs and Olivia Tem from Improsaurus. They're going to be chatting about Improsaurus Season 2. Very exciting stuff. But first, let's get to Ōhaki by Moko Tron. You're listening to The One. It is 10:10. Ka kite, folks. Was a f***ing Radio 1 podcast, mate. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.